Our Old Testament scripture reading this evening is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35, the entire chapter, verses 1 through 19. Jeremiah, chapter 35. Beginning in verse 1 of Jeremiah, chapter 35. Hear the word of God. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazakiah, and his brothers and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, Drink wine. But they said, We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, You shall drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyard, field, or seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, Come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For to this day they drink none and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not obeyed me. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard, and I have called to them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and have kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. And thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Well, as we come to chapter 35 of Jeremiah, recall that Jeremiah is writing at a time in Judah when the threat of exile was looming on the horizon. The northern kingdom has already been exiled, and at this time, Jeremiah is warning those in Judah of the impending doom that is coming unless they turn back to the Lord. But king after king after king has done things that have been in disobedience to God. But really, as we look at this particular chapter, we see these Rechabites, these sons of Rechab, who are descendants of Jonadab. And we see that they have been obedient. In fact, in the first 11 verses, we see that these descendants, and if we want to look at a bit of history, they're about 300 years ago Rechab lived. Jonadab, in fact, was alive when King Ahab was alive during the time of the prophet Elisha. And in particular, he went with Jehu and cleaned out the temple of Baal. And so this is the Jonadab, which he is talking about. And he gave command to his descendants. He said, don't drink wine and don't dwell in tents. Now, why would he have done this? Well, again, to dwell in tents or to not dwell in a city or to drink wine is not a sin in any way. But he was doing this so that he would be sure that his descendants kept themselves pure. And really what I submit to you is drinking of wine. We read in Proverbs that wine gladdens the heart. And so really he was saying, listen, don't be fixated on the pleasures of this world. And then when you think of dwelling in tents, what's that say? It says that maybe you're not making this world your permanent home. Don't have your foundation, that is, in the provisions of this world. And so he said this, but then we see Jeremiah goes and he brings them in to the inner chamber. And God tells him, give them wine. And they refuse it. And they refuse it because of the commandment of their father. But then we see it goes on and it contrasts this. Jeremiah is told, okay, now that you've seen that the Rechabites are not going to disobey their earthly father, go and look at the children of Israel and talk to them and say to them, look at this. These earthly Rechabites obey their earthly descent, their earthly ancestor. And yet you don't obey me, your very God, creator of the entire universe. And really the contrast comes in verse 16. It says, surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father which he commanded them. But this people has not obeyed me. This people has not obeyed me. And so he goes on in verse 17. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard, and I have called to them, but they have not answered. See, the issue here was obedience. And Judah was being disobedient. They were not listening to their God. And so he prophesies to Jeremiah that he's going to bring this doom upon them. And we do know that the Babylonians come in and they carry them away. Jeremiah wants to stay, but he is taken with some to Egypt. And so they are taken captive because of the judgment against them by God. But then notice this, the Rechabites. Look at verse 18 and 19. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. You see, God here prophesies a blessing to the Rechabites. And actually we see evidence of this in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 14, when we hear of a descendant of Rechab actually rebuilding parts of Jerusalem, assisting with that, after the exile. Okay? Why, though? Because of their obedience to a man, you see, obedience to their fathers. We think of the fifth commandment, right? He was being obedient in that way. But God desires pure obedience, doesn't he? And how much more for those who obey God will this blessing come? And so just a few applications from this. As a Christian, really, obedience is core to who we are. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we look at the sermon and how we walk out our life of sanctification. We don't obey to earn God's favor, but because God has poured out his love and his favor upon us, we obey him as our Heavenly Father. And we may also be tested. These Rechabites were brought in and given wine. Here, drink. And yet, what did they do? They refused it. So there may be times where we also are going to be tested. We're going to have things brought before us. And we need to be obedient to what God's Word says and not what our own desires are for the pleasures of this world. Or we should not find our stability in the provisions of this world. Because the Word says this world is not our home. And so we really do need to stand fast in the face of all trials and all testing, because we know this, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, isn't He? God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And our motivation is love for God and love for one another. Well, at this time, we will join together for our the pastoral prayer. And I do have a couple of items that I will include in here. The building and what is going on with obtaining a new building. And also Becky's husband, John, in Africa. And then John, your wife, Lillian, and the heart testing that she was undergoing. Let us now join together in prayer. Our Father, You are most glorious in all Your attributes, in Your goodness, justice, holiness, and truth. You are the Creator of the world. You have made all things, and You have made all things good. And although the world, through the fall, has been corrupted by sin, You are in the business of recreating those who You have called to be Your people, recreating them in the image of Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You, God, that You are powerful, that You care for us in such a way. And we pray now that You will help us to glorify You as our God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That as we lift up our voices, as we are gathered here as Your people, You would be magnified in all that we do. And that through Your word, each of our hearts would be transformed and conformed more into the image of Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come now, O God, humbly. We come without anything in our hands, with feeble knees, knowing that our sin is deserving of eternal wrath and punishment. And we do confess, O God, that we are in desperate need of Your grace. We have sinned in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. Your word says there is none who does good, no, not one. Oh Lord, we pray now for Your forgiveness. We pray, God, that You would pour out Your Spirit, and that by Your Spirit You would cleanse our hearts, that You would renew our minds, that You would continue to sanctify us, that You would continue to give us all that we need to walk in holiness before You. We do thank You, God, that You are the giver of all good gifts. As we are now in this new year, we pray, God, that You would continue to encourage us and encourage this congregation. We thank You for Christ Presbyterian Church and the gospel ministry that goes on here. We thank You for Pastor Barnes and his wife Dina, for their two boys. We pray that You would bless them even as they are away. Keep them. Guard their hearts. Guard their minds. Protect them from the fiery darts of the evil one. Give Pastor Barnes a special grace as he delivers Your word week in, week out. As he proclaims Your truth, as he shepherds Your people. We also lift up the elders and deacons in this congregation. Give them a measure of Your Spirit needed to do the work that You have called them to do. That as under shepherds, they would guide Your people. They would proclaim the truth to them. They would instruct them and teach them in the way they should go. We do thank You that Christ Presbyterian has this place to meet. But we do pray, God, that You would provide a building of Your choosing for them. That they would be able to gather together in a building that is theirs. To be able to worship You there and hold other gatherings, such as prayer meetings or other services. We pray, God, that You would bless the work of the deacons and the elders as they look to select a building. That You would give them wisdom in making decisions. That You would bless their efforts. Father, we know that there are many hardships in this life, that sometimes it has been called a veil of tears. We do ask that you would give us and give this congregation what they need to walk through it with hope. We pray for Becky and her husband, John. We pray, oh God, that you would enable him to leave Africa, to come here to the United States. That you would give all that he needs with immigration agents and everyone with which he has to do. That you would give him favor before men, that they would be reunited very soon. We also do lift up John's wife, Lillian. We know that there are some heart issues that are being tested for. Oh God, you are the God who heals us. You care for us, both body and soul. So we do pray for Lillian. We pray that you would be with her, be with John and their children. Give them grace at this time. Give them comfort, for you are our comforter. Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day, for this time of worship together. We pray as we come to you and sing your praises, as we hear your word, that you would be glorified and that we would be edified, that we would be transformed, and that you would use this time to better equip us to be your servants in this world. We bring all these things to you, God, knowing that you are a good and loving Father, that you are in control of all things, and that you cause all things to work together for our good, for those who are called according to your purpose. We do come humbly before you, but also boldly, knowing that you have made a way through the veil, and that through Christ we have access to your presence, as he is our mediator. It is in Christ's name we ask all this. Amen.